Joining me today here at PitPass Network is Corey LaJoy. Corey, it's been a pretty good season for you. You had a shot to win Atlanta. I think the docuseries that's came out on USA Network has gotten to a lot of people to know about you, to know who you are and whatnot. So I think that's really cool. I think the sport did a great thing by doing that as well, and not just showcasing the superstars of the sport. Not that you're not a star, but a lot of the average fans aren't going to know a lot about Corey LaJoy and what he's about. So I think that's really cool that we've gotten a behind the scenes look at you. You got the kickball tournament this week. What do you want to talk about first?
It's your show, man. There's enough stuff on me. People can go find out if they want. So whatever you're thinking.
All right, let's start with the kickball tournament here coming up in a couple of days. Tell us a little bit about what that and what it's about.
Yep. So it was a bit of a dream idea, you know, because everybody's got their charitable events where you got, you know, Martin Truex, and he does Catwalk for a Cause and raised a lot of money there. You got Austin Dillon had a 3-on-3 basketball tournament a couple of years ago. A lot of guys have golf tournaments, but I wanted something a little bit different, right? And a group of us, including Cliff Daniels, who is Larson's crew chief now. Before that, you know, 5-6 years ago, we played in a co-ed kickball league, and it was always a lot of fun. So I saw Cam Newton when he was playing here in Carolina. He threw on like a celebrity kickball game. But I wanted to figure out a process to get a lot more people involved and get some teams going and have a little, you know, friendly competition. So we were able to connect with the Kannapolis YMCA as well as the Cannonballers, and we started putting some ideas together on paper, and last year worked out, and this year's gonna be even bigger than ever.
Now, how many teams do you have that play in the kickball tournament?
16 teams will play in like the kickball classic tournament, and then I've got 4 celebrity teams with 12 guys on each that are gonna be competing for some medals at the end of it.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I know there's a lot of guys in the sport that are going to be participating in it, and I believe that it's going to be live on NASCAR.com, right? If people want to watch, that's what, Thursday night, I believe, right?
Yeah, so it's on NASCAR's digital platforms, I believe on their YouTube. So if you can't make it, you can definitely tune in and watch us.
Yeah, everybody go out and support his Kickball for a Cause, for the Joy's Kickball for a Cause. That'll be Thursday. Watch it. Do you know what time that starts? Is that like 7, 8 o'clock, or is it in the afternoon?
So the celebrity stuff starts at about 5:30. We'll be out there pretty much all day. So we'll be playing kickball from about 1 o'clock until about 7:30. So you won't be able to miss any action.
All right. Well, everybody has to make sure to go check that out. I know I can't wait to watch it. Can't wait to tune in. I think it's great when you guys in the sport and any sport, like you mentioned, Cam Newton from the NFL and all that stuff, you know, to support charities and to go out and have some fun. I think it's a lot of times people in sports take themselves really serious, and they're all, you know, just sticking their nose to the grindstone and just trying to work on what they've got to work on to be competitive in their sport and their field. So I think it's really cool to see guys, you know, have fun, cut loose, and you get to know about them more personal than you would if, you know, you just showed up on Sunday and raced.
That's right. I mean, you gotta have fun, man. We get to all do a pretty cool job, but there's a lot of pressure to what we do. So you gotta enjoy it when you can.
All right, now let's back up a little bit. So I just watched the NASCAR Next Series with you and all your buddies that came up together. I think it's been 10 years now. Does it feel like 10 years have went by since that started?
Yes and no. I mean, it feels like a lifetime ago, really and truly. But then again, you know, it feels like yesterday. You're out there just, you know, racing around trying to make it happen with your buddies. And in some ways, it feels like a decade ago, which it was. And some days, it feels like yesterday.
So how did you get your start in racing? I know for those people who are listening who might not know, your dad was a pretty good race car driver. I believe he won a Busch Series title. So what steered you down the path of wanting to follow in his footsteps?
You know, I played baseball all the way through high school, and I just loved racing, man. I just had the passion for it up against some other, you know, I saw myself saw myself in the future just wanting to apply myself at racing more so than baseball. And luckily got the right connections, got a little lucky, and next thing you know, it's you make a career out of it. But it certainly wasn't easy.
Yeah, and it's still not easy for you, as we saw on the docuseries there that's on USA Network. You know, Spire's a small team. You know, I think that you and Spire fit together really well. I believe you guys are working out of the old Kawiki shop too. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So how cool is that to kind of connect to the history of the sport and in the way that you do?
You know, I'm a student of the sport. I love it. I love the old guys. I love just the history of it. So, you know, it's pretty cool to grow up and look at all of what Alan Kawiki did with being the underdog and, you know, being the guy that probably knew more about the cars than any other drivers, and then to turn around and 30 years later be driving the 7 out of his shop is pretty neat. I don't take that lightly.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people are going to gravitate to you because of the hard work that we've seen you be able to put in. I mean, you guys are a smaller team there at Spire, but you guys are getting better. I mean, we've saw it this year. You guys are running better at not just, you know, Daytona or Talladega or at Atlanta now. You know, obviously it's been, you know, a plate race basically now, or not a plate race. You guys don't have the plates anymore, but being a pack style race. So where are you guys getting better, and where do you think Spire can improve to maybe go out and make a run at the playoffs next season?
I mean, we got to get better in a lot of areas, but, you know, processes and just getting tied in with OEMs a bit more to get more understanding on tire data and aerodynamics, something we're a little bit short on. But overall, I feel like we've done an okay job. I feel like the year overall has been a little bit under performing what we're capable of, but, you know, we're going to continue to play the long game here and build on it. And, you know, next year, really, hopefully we can hit the ground running and have us a year like, you know, McDowell has. He's been really strong this year, and I think that our team's just capable.
Yeah, now I'm gonna back up a little bit here to the NASCAR Next program, and I see all these guys that you were racing with, and you were as good, if not better, than any of them at the time. I mean, you guys were all racing at the front. You guys all were winning. How did you manage to not get one of those premier rides when people like Chase and Ryan and Daniel, these guys have gotten? You know, Daniel at the time was in Gibbs. He's not there anymore, but how did you manage to not land one of those development deals at the time?
Well, I did. I signed a development deal with Petty, and it just, we couldn't get a sponsor, and, you know, just it didn't pan out. So we, all of the driving opportunities kind of dried up, and I went to work being a crew chief for a K&N West team, and just was going down that path, and eventually got hooked up with a partner in U-Theory, where they gave me a little bit of sponsorship to get me back going in Xfinity car. And that kind of started the snowball back rolling my career, where, you know, you have a really small window when you're young to get with one of those premier teams. And, you know, in my window, I didn't have enough sponsorship tied to me to kind of get going like, some of those other guys did. And I feel like I still have the ability, I like to think, but those guys got hooked up with the right people to get the most out of them in terms of their abilities and grow and learn. So, you know, we see Chase, he's a consistent winner. Kyle Larson's obviously a champion. So that just goes to show, man, getting with the right group at the right time is uber important. And hopefully that, you know, I can one day realize my potential as a NASCAR driver. But, you know, there's still something to be said about making the best where you're at and continue to get better each and every week. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And I don't think there's any doubt, you know, like I said, you were as good as if not better than those guys. I remember some of those races, you know, back then we had the Speed Channel. And so we got to see some of those races that are a little bit harder to find now, unless you're there. But yeah, every week you were running up front, and I am sure that at some point you're going to get your opportunity, whether Spire keeps elevating themselves. We've seen Spire, you guys have came a long way, you know, and in the short amount of time. It's really hard to be a new team in NASCAR, let alone a new team in the Cup Series. But I think you guys got a lot of the right people. And I know that you have the talent. Everybody talks about guys that they want to see get into a faster race car or their team, you know, get better. We saw it, like you mentioned, with McDowell and that team. You know, that team used to be a team that only had a shot to win Daytona and Talladega. And now, I mean, McDowell's having a career year. And he was with Michael Waltrip Racing back when they had speed and they were a really good team before things fell apart for them. And what do you need to get to that point for Spire? I mean, you guys have gotten better and you said there's still a long ways to go. Do you feel like everything is in place at Spire to be able to elevate to what we've seen some of these other teams, you know, with the next gen car, bringing everybody closer together? You know, it's all about track position a lot of days. And do you think you guys can make the jump that they've made over there?
I mean, yeah, I don't see why not. I have a lot of faith in Ryan Sparks and everybody within the team. We just got a lot of stuff stacked against us with, you know, the hierarchy in terms of OEM and things like that, the trickle down of information. But if we can continue to build that, build a notebook to get these things driving well, I do think that we can start running top 15 more consistently, and then you start running top 10 more consistently. So, you know, we're not going to jump from where we're at to winning races. We're going to jump from running top 20 consistently to top 15s consistently and do that. It's not going to be a instant. You wake up in the morning one day and you're winning races. Those guys have the processes and confidence in place to go out there and attack, where, you know, we've still got a little ways to go.
All right, now I'm going to go back to Atlanta. I don't want to talk about the crash. You had a great race that day, and you ended up crashed. That sucked, you know, especially with these next gen cars and some of the concussions that we're seeing. But I want to talk about, well, a little bit before, when HMS had the open seat, it was reported that you had sent a letter, wrote a handwritten letter to Rick Hendrick. And then after the crash, you had Rick come out and speak very highly of you. Jeff Gordon, a lot of people at HMS speak very highly of you. What does that mean to you, the connection that you've built with that organization? I know you don't drive for them. I know that they're a four-car team without a spot right now, but just the friendship, I guess, is the word I'm looking for here. I don't even know if that's the right word, but the connection you have to that team now.
I mean, on a technical connection, you know, we've worked with them a bit. I did a couple tests for data acquisition and things like that. But we also get our pit crews from them, and we also get our engines from them. So we do have a bit of a working relationship that's really important for what we're trying to do. And the more we can continue to be an asset for those guys with all the stuff that they're trying to learn with the new car, I think it's just going to help benefit us. But, you know, we're trying to, those guys are winning races and contending for championships, where, you know, we're just trying to finish all the laps and have good days. But, you know, the letter and all that stuff is all fine and well, but at the end of the day, you got to be in a position to, when you do get those spots, to execute. So hopefully we can continue to build Spire to that point and go contending for some wins.
And what does it mean to you when someone like that speaks highly of you and put your name out there saying that you're a guy that they feel like, you know, there might not be a spot with them, but you should have an opportunity? I mean, that's gotta make you feel pretty good when basically the New York Yankees of NASCAR saying, look, we're full here, but this guy's really good.
I mean, yeah, it makes you feel good. But at the end of the day, it's, you show up to the next week and you kind of get pushed right back into your lane where you're supposed to be. But that's why you got to keep showing up and getting better and not worry about what everybody else says, because, you know, there's always opportunities to where you might look at as better, but you got to look at the opportunity you have right now in hand is the best opportunity you got to make some noise. And that's what we've got.
So 2022 is almost wrapped up. We got just a handful of races left this year. Are you set for Spire next year, or are you guys still working on the deals, the details here, the deal to try to get you back with Spire?
We're working all the details, but it's looking pretty good.
All right, so that'll be good to see you guys back together. I feel like Spire, man. I feel like you guys are like the little team that's going to grow. I think you guys are going to surprise a lot of people. I mean, what are the differences with the next gen car over the car we saw last year, our previous generation car? You know, we saw, you know, smaller teams get better. We've saw a lot of resurgence. You see Petty GMS is, you know, Eric Jones's, his win at Darlington was no fluke. He's been pretty good all year, right on that playoff cut line. We've seen other teams get better. We still see the big teams, you know, you still see Hendrick Motorsports, you still see Joe Gibbs, you still see these guys at the front, but it looks like everybody else is kind of, the box is smaller. So from a racing standpoint, how has the next gen car changed things, and has it closed the gap between everybody?
Sorry, you're on mute there. A lot of differences, right? Obvious technical ones. You can watch that each and every week, but it certainly brings you a little bit closer, but in terms of relative speed, but it makes closing the gap to the big teams and the ones that have that are tied in with the OEMs, with the wind tunnel numbers and the tire data and all the stuff like that, that we don't see a whole lot of, is equally as hard to close that gap. But, you know, it's nice to where, you know, if you hit on a certain day and some bigger teams can miss it, you can get up there and go have a good day. And, you know, so we've had a couple of bad days. We've had a couple of decent days, but we've got to make sure we can find a little more consistency with bringing some speed to the racetrack.
And safety has been a wide top, you know, everybody's talking about safety with the next gen car and those rear impacts. Have you had a rear impact, a heavy rear impact in this next gen car?
I haven't had a back in the fence moment like a couple of those guys, but I've stuffed it in the fence several times, pretty hard, right front and straight on, a couple other ones where we've had some issues, but you know, it certainly is more rigid and transfers more to the driver. You want to make sure that your headrest foam and all the stuff that you're doing as a driver, whether that's, you know, supplementing the right omega-3s and strengthening your neck to make sure that you're doing everything you can as a driver to best protect yourself and when that day comes. But you never like to see competitors out from concussions. And, you know, I think NASCAR's got a lot of things in the pipe right now that's going to help mitigate some of those impacts for us in the future.
Yeah, you never want to see, you know, guys getting hurt on a regular basis and guys getting knocked out of, you know, because that, you know, all of us watching are fans of the sport, you know, and we enjoy watching our favorite driver, but no, you know, and people love to hate other drivers too. You know, let's not sugarcoat that. There's some guys who get some boos, but nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. And I feel like at this point, you know, it's, when there's a wreck now, I'm not thinking, oh, I don't care for that guy, or, oh, that's my favorite driver hitting the wall. I'm thinking, man, I hope that guy's not hurt. You know, watching Talladega yesterday was the first time that I, as a fan, I've sat there and said, man, I hope nobody, you know, gets hurt today. Nothing happens, because the impacts in the rear specifically seemed like they don't have to be very hard for somebody to, you know, to get their head scrambled just a little bit. And, you know, you look at the Alex last week, that did not look like a very hard impact, but when you watch it, the way his head moved and you see him sitting there trying to shake it off. And I feel like, you know, listening to his in-car audio, maybe he was, you know, trying to say that he just couldn't race anymore. Not that the car was tore up, but I think there was like a little misunderstanding there, because he said, I can't race anymore today. And the team, I think, thought that he was talking about the damage, and he sat there and went back out there and competed the rest of the day. So does that worry you drivers, or do you guys just, when you strap in, you guys put it out of your minds? Because we saw, I mean, you were wrecked. I think you had a tire issue or something. I know that you got caught up in something, but we did not see a 25 car wreck or everybody wreck in the last 10 laps. Do you think that is because of some of the issues with safety and guys maybe weren't taking that extra risk?
I mean, man, you know the risk you sign up for. So, you just want to make sure you're prepared and your stuff's dialed in, whether it's headrest foam or seat belts and everything you got control of. That way, when it does happen, you can walk out and do it the next week.
All right, let's get away from the safety and some of that stuff. Let's make this the last part of this more fun. What is your favorite track to race at, and what is your least favorite track to race at?
Well, you know, it really depends on what kind of car you got that day. I've had bad ones at Bristol, which is my favorite track, and I've had good cars at, you know, Kansas, that's my least favorite track. So it really just depends on if your car is driving good.
Now, so you brought up Bristol. We were there just a couple weeks ago, and in the next gen car, you know, the one place that's kind of hurt racing, I feel like, is short tracks. We've got Martinsville coming up in a few weeks. How do you feel about the way they treat some of these tracks and, you know, the resin or whatever? There's like 15 different names for it. I'm going to call it resin here. Well, how do you feel about the resin that they use and the sticky stuff they use at places like Bristol and Texas and Nashville and all these places? Do you like it when they apply that to the racetrack? Do you not like it?
I mean, I think it's got its uses. You know, I think I preferred the PJ1 better than the resin, but I think there was probably some EPA stuff they were trying to work through with that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, I think certain racetracks that are one groove, it doesn't hurt to spray it, let it work up there and lay some rubber down. I think that, you know, sometimes the one groove racetrack's not a bad thing. You get some of that bumping and grinding back.
Yeah, I think.
I hate to cut you off here, but I got 12:30. I got to jump on here.
All right, Corey. Well, thanks for joining us today. Before we let you go, I want to ask you about a charity. What charity? Every week when we have somebody come on here, we donate to their charity. So what is your charity of choice here for us to highlight?
Yeah, so Samaritan's Feet. .org is what I've been working with for the last couple of years. They do a lot of great stuff over all over the world, but we're here domestically, but also international. So also, you know, the YMCA is benefiting from the Kickball Classic, so you can support that if you come out here on Thursday. Buy a ticket for $10.
All right, there it is. If you're in the area, come out and buy a ticket for $10. If you can't get there, you can watch it on NASCAR and all of their socials. Thank you, Corey, for giving us the time today. Have fun with the Kickball Classic. Good luck the rest of the season, and hopefully you, Inspire, can find your way to Victory Lane here pretty soon.
Appreciate it.